Think about the last time you pulled up to an FBO. The lineman marshals you in, the fuel truck rolls over, and you hand over a card for a fuel bill that makes you wonder, briefly, if you should have driven. Most pilots grumble about it, fill the tanks, and move on. But here's a question worth sitting with. Who actually owns that FBO? And what does it mean when the answer is a private equity firm that manages hundreds of billions of dollars in assets? I'm Tower on ATIS here on Radio Hangar. Today, we're following the money because this week the money moved in a very significant way. Apollo Funds has acquired a major stake in Atlantic Aviation from KKR in a deal that values Atlantic at somewhere approaching $10 billion. That is not a typo. $10 billion for a chain of fixed base operators. Let's talk about what that actually means. But first, today's aviation news is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com, Atlantic Aviation, for those who may not have connected the name to the ramp, is one of the two dominant FBO chains in the United States. They operate dozens of locations across the country at major commercial airports, at busy reliever airports, and at the kinds of general aviation hubs where corporate jets park and turboprops line up for fuel. If you've flown cross-country in anything with a turbine up front, you've probably stopped at an Atlantic location, maybe more than once. The other giant in this space is Signature Flight Support. And when you put Signature and Atlantic side by side, you're looking at the vast majority of large market FBO capacity in this country. Two companies, hundreds of locations. And now both of them are firmly in the hands of institutional capital to understand why Apollo buying into Atlantic matters. You need to understand how Atlantic got here in the first place. KKR, which stands for Kohlberg Kravis Roberts, is one of the original private equity firms. They have been buying, restructuring, and reselling major companies since the 1970s. KKR acquired Atlantic Aviation several years ago and spent that time building out the network, standardizing operations, and positioning the company for exactly this kind of transaction. A major stake sale to another institutional player at a valuation that returns multiples on the original investment. That is the private equity playbook, and KKR ran it by the book. Apollo Funds is now taking that baton. Apollo Global Management is one of the largest alternative asset managers in the world, with hundreds of billions in assets under management across credit, equity, and real assets. When Apollo buys into something, they are not buying a passion project. They are buying a cash flow machine that they intend to run efficiently, grow strategically, and eventually sell or take public at a premium. So what does that tell us? It tells us that someone running very sophisticated financial models believes that Atlantic Aviation, at $10 billion, is a good investment. And that belief is grounded in something specific. It is grounded in the fact that aviation fuel and ground handling services at busy airports are not a commodity you can easily walk away from. If you need Jet A at a major metropolitan airport, you're going to pay what the FBO charges. You do not have a lot of alternatives. Economists call this a captive market. Pilots call it something less polite. The consolidation of the FBO industry has been building for more than a decade. 20 years ago, the landscape was much more fragmented. You had independent FBOs at most airports, family-owned operations that had been there since the field was a grass strip, regional chains with a handful of locations, and occasionally a larger network. Competition varied by airport. Some airports had two or three FBOs competing for your fuel business, which kept prices honest. Others were single FBO airports, and you paid what they asked. Then the capital moved in. Signature Flight Support, which is owned by a company called Signature Aviation, became a subsidiary of Blackstone, another major private equity and investment firm. Atlantic went to KKR. Smaller regional chains were absorbed. Independent operators at high-traffic airports faced buyout offers that were, in many cases, very difficult to turn down. The result is the landscape we have now, a heavily consolidated FBO market dominated by two major chains, both owned by institutional investors with fiduciary obligations to generate returns for their limited partners. Here's what you need to know about what that means in practice. For corporate and charter operators, the math is fairly clear. Landing fees, ramp fees, handling fees, and fuel markups at major chain FBOs have been rising faster than inflation for the better part of a decade. The International Air Transport Association, or IATA, has raised concerns about this on the international level. Business aviation operators have raised concerns domestically. The National Business Aviation Association, the NBAA, has been vocal about FBO pricing practices, particularly at slot-controlled and capacity-constrained airports, where an FBO has effective monopoly power. If you're flying a light single-engine piston aircraft into a regional airport with a locally owned FBO, this news may not change your fuel bill tomorrow. But if you are flying anything with a turbine into a major market, the trajectory of your operating costs runs through decisions made in conference rooms in New York and Los Angeles, not at the front desk of the FBO you just taxied into. The $10 billion valuation is the number that stops me in my tracks. That number is a bet. It is a bet that the revenue from FBO operations, primarily fuel margin and handling fees, will grow fast enough and reliably enough to justify that price tag and deliver returns to Apollo's investors. The only way that bet pays off is if revenue goes up. Revenue at an FBO goes up one of three ways: volume increases, meaning more aircraft movements generating more fuel sales; prices increase, meaning higher margin per gallon and higher fees per service; or costs decrease, meaning the same revenue goes further. Private equity firms typically pursue all three, but in a business like FBO operations, where volume is largely determined by the health of the aviation market rather than the operator's decisions, the most reliable lever is pricing. It would be irresponsible to say this transaction directly causes your fuel prices to go up. Markets are complicated, but it would also be naive to look at a $10 billion purchase price and assume the new owners are counting on keeping prices exactly where they are. There is a policy dimension to this that the aviation community has been wrestling with for years. Airports are public infrastructure. They are built with public funds, often with Federal Aviation Administration grants that come with strings attached. The land that an FBO sits on is typically leased from the airport authority, which means the airport has some theoretical leverage over how that space is operated. But in practice, the relationship between airport authorities and major FBO tenants is complicated. Long-term leases lock in rights for years or decades. The investment required to build and maintain a quality FBO facility gives large operators leverage in lease negotiations. And airport authorities, many of which are not-for-profit or quasi-governmental entities without deep financial sophistication, sometimes find themselves across the table from very well-resourced operators and their legal teams. The FAA has authority over civil aviation in this country. But FBO pricing is not an area where the FAA directly regulates. Airport operators have some ability to require FBOs to serve all aircraft on a non-discriminatory basis, which is a requirement tied to federal funding. But that is a different question from what price they charge. There have been calls for more aggressive oversight of FBO pricing practices, particularly at airports that receive federal grant money. So far, those calls have not resulted in major regulatory action, but the $10 billion Atlantic valuation will almost certainly reopen that conversation. Now, I want to make sure we're not losing the forest for the trees here, because this story has a dimension that is actually encouraging for aviation, even if the pricing dynamics are frustrating. $10 billion is real money flowing into aviation infrastructure. Private equity firms do not invest at that scale in industries they believe are in decline. The Atlantic Aviation deal is a statement about the long-term outlook for business aviation, for general aviation at the high end, for air taxi and advanced air mobility as it matures, and for the general health of the aviation ecosystem. When investors with sophisticated models and genuine alternatives look at the landscape and decide that FBO operations are worth $10 billion, they are betting that aviation is going to be a healthy business for a long time. There is something worth acknowledging in that. The aviation industry has been through a rough stretch. The pandemic hit business aviation hard before it recovered, hit commercial aviation even harder, and disrupted supply chains for aircraft parts and maintenance in ways we are still working through. The fact that capital at this scale is moving into aviation infrastructure suggests the smart money sees through those near-term headwinds to a robust longer-term picture. That is probably good news for aviation broadly, even if the specific mechanism of how that capital gets deployed raises legitimate questions for the pilots and operators who pay the fuel bills. So where does this leave you? If you fly a piston aircraft into smaller airports, probably not much changes in your immediate world. The dynamics that affect your fuel prices are more local. Competition at your home airport, the efficiency of your FBO's operation, the wholesale price of avgas, and the pricing philosophy of whoever happens to run that counter. If you fly turbine equipment, especially into high-density markets, you should understand that the business you're buying fuel from is now part of a $10 billion financial structure. The people making decisions about fee schedules and fuel pricing are accountable to investors whose interests may not perfectly align with yours. That is not an accusation. It is just the nature of the arrangement, and knowing the nature of the arrangement helps you make smarter decisions. Some operators have been exploring fuel consortiums, direct contracts with fuel suppliers, or choosing secondary airports with more competitive FBO options when the mission allows for it. Those strategies make more sense in this environment, not less. The NBAA, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association, and other advocacy organizations have been watching FBO consolidation for years. If you have opinions about how this should be handled, those organizations are the right channel. They have access to regulators and policymakers that individual pilots do not.
One more thing worth noting. KKR is not fully exiting Atlantic. The deal structure, as reported by Aerotime, involves Apollo acquiring a major stake, not a complete buyout. That means KKR retains a position, which suggests they still see upside. When two sophisticated institutional investors both want to own a piece of the same FBO chain at a $10 billion valuation, it is worth noting that they both ran the same math and came to the same conclusion. This business has room to grow, in their view. What that growth looks like for the pilots and operators on the other side of the fuel truck is the question that the next few years will answer. Aviation infrastructure is not glamorous. It does not get the attention that new aircraft designs get, or that regulatory battles over airspace get. But it is the scaffolding on which the rest of aviation operates. The FBOs, the fuel suppliers, the ground handling providers, and the airports themselves are the substrate. When large amounts of capital move into that substrate, it shapes what aviation looks like for everyone who flies. Keep an eye on this one. The headline is a deal closing. The story is still unfolding. Sources for today's segment include Aerotime and the National Business Aviation Association. More aviation news and analysis at RadioHanger.com. I'm Tower. Fly safe out there.